We're ready for the second half. Adam, why don't you come on up? Adam is the National Director of Youth for Christ in Poland, and he's also the Director of a counseling ministry for pastors and others. And I'm very thrilled that he's been able to come and join us and share with us both his insights about the problems of Christian leaders today and also some helpful principles of how to help them. So I'm going to go ahead and put this on you.
Okay.
Great. Now, you should have his outline somewhere in your book. It might be from tomorrow. I'm not sure, but it'll be there somewhere.
Yeah, okay, thanks. How much time we have?
We have until 1:15.
Okay.
So you have a little over an hour if you want to break down for discussion, have discussion with people, or if you want to break early, it's your choice.
Okay. And who will be responsible for this when you will leave?
Dwayne.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Dwayne. Okay. During the worship this morning, when Mira, my wife, was looking around, he had revelation. And so many men around. Yeah?
It's not picking up your voice. You need to go a little louder.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. And he had a revelation to see many men around her. Yes, yes, and she said that word is in the right hands. And I remember when some of my friends from London was in our home, where we are working together in some international foundation. It was many years ago. And he was talking about his pastor and his congregation. And his pastor was not fluent speaking person. He started. And during his sermon, when he make break because he couldn't to finish some words, and because congregation was so loving congregation, he finished endings always. Always. I need this experience with you because of my English. And I am going to share with you the not easy subject, the current church and pastoral struggles. And I would like to start from the list of most visible problems and struggles of pastors and leaders. Moral failure, spiritual burnout, contention in the church, divorce, depression, unqualified and discouraged in their role, lack of prayer, no close friend, no mentor, no other option for work. Bible is not personal book. Marriage and family conflicts. And I would like to share you with the statistic of my closest environment. I graduated the theological seminary when I studied, and we graduated 10 people. Two of us, 30 years in ministry till now, including myself. And five from these 10 graduates were in ministry between 10 and 13 years. Two pastors were in ministry between 3 and 4 years. And one was active, not formal way, 3, 4, 5 years. And when I graduated the Theological Academy with also 10 colleagues, it's still now, it's in ministry 4 people, including me, 27 years. 10, 12 years were 2 of us in ministry only, including one woman. 8 years was one in ministry. 2, they were women, never joined to ministry. And 1, she was pastor's wife for 23 years. She is not in ministry now. And now I would like to describe you some cases of 5 people from this group. ZD, full of life, energy, optimistic, intentive, appealing to youth, always positive, but had unsolved personality problems. Accepted the responsibilities of a pastor in a traditional church right after the seminary. He found his wife in this church. They had 2 children. The lack of mentor, counselor, and friends made him just play the role of responsible pastor. A few years later, he said, "I was me who needed help when I had to help others." He left his wife and children. He left his ministry and church. But his son, brought up by the single godly mother, graduated from the seminary and is a very eager person in ministry, resembling his father's initial enthusiasm and devotion. J.M., eager, strict, with clear rules, uncompromising, right? Uncompromising, distress, uncompromising. Knowing the word sacrificial, but his own needs to be exceptional and extraordinary, the need of the exceptional calling, inability to have simple relationship with his wife, children, and to other people, made him some kind of a freak. His characteristic statement was, "I am Billy Graham," approved by his parents and siblings, made other people avoid him, and eventually his wife and children desert him. So he gave up his ministry. A.M., an evangelist, brilliant, charismatic and appealing to young people, man with strong convictions, helping people to feel valuable, intelligent, energetic, incredibly active, walking with people, joyful and humorous, but cunning and dishonest, disloyal, humiliating weaker people, radicaling, manipulating others to reach his goals, strengthening the position of his own kingdom in order to increase himself value. He's out of his denomination now, at his own wish, but still doing everything to be accepted by it, setting up his own church. SB, a model mind, as he was described by another pastor, honest, truthful, deep, great interpreter of the Bible, self-analytical, truly looking for the right implication of word. Good lecturer, idealist, but too much concentrated on his own holiness. Ideals of Christian without practical application offered in his marriage. Perfectionist and demanding, critical and judging. Looking for an accept in music, looking an escape in music, art, books, and deep intellectual conversations. When he found understanding and partnership in those areas of interest in the woman from his church, who needed and looked for the same things, he did not notice when they both became physically attracted to each other. I have no idea how it happened. I was like in dream, he said. How could it happen? When he very honestly confessed his sin before the church, a young man, his daughter's age, said, I love you like my own father. Another person said, now I want you to be our pastor. We were at this time in this church and we saw this. But some respected leaders advised him to be silent and keeping it as a secret, secret of his life. But he confessed sin before pastors, other pastors in his church conference. But one of the respected leaders of his denomination council gave him the following piece of advice on the council meeting. You'd better hide somewhere in the corner, brother. So he did. And he's our friend. WP, intelligent, bright, logical, faithful, devoted, loyal, gifted to explain the word clearly, sacrificial, responsible, honest, but with strong feelings of adequacy, perfectionist, traditional, dilated, depressive, pitiful, narrowly understanding the ministry. Every single comment to treat as an attack on him and proving that he was hopeless. He gave up ministry but lives with a strong sense of guilt because of the unfulfilled God calling. Today, neglected and not invited as a co-worker. These are examples from our Polish reality of a painful process of maturing. The aim of those cases is to define the causes and to draw conclusions. Life is not a simple lesson. A lot of inner and outer factors influence our personal development and spiritual maturity. It is the process which requires time and conscious engagement. It is also reflect in our approach to every day life, which is ministry. The Good Samaritan pictures it well. We would like to name the factors which, in our opinion, are vital here. Inner factors. Personality problems and problems with spiritual relationship to God. First, personality problems. Lack of conscious of oneself. No acceptance of oneself. Natural personal tendency, like perfectionism, seeking one's own comfort and benefits, controlling, manipulation, autocratism, irresponsibility, no vision, dreaming. Problems with spiritual relationship to God. Not enough understanding of grace. Cheap grace. Dissonance between sermons and practice, practical life. No personal trust in God. No personal intimacy with God. No honesty with God. God's value unimportant in practical life. Outer factors. Expectation of other members of the church, the omnibus. Shallow spiritual condition of the church. Tiredness of life of members of the church. Not good organizational structure of the church. Tension between pastor and church board. Overload of work. Bad conditions of existence. No communication in marriage and family. No mentoring and pastoral care for pastors. Traditionalism and dislike of change. Family clans, strong natural leaders in the church. Now I would like to share my own and with Mira journey of life. I remember myself, even as a kid, always moving, running forward and overtaking others. Always full of ideas, present everywhere, growing up in a godly family devoted to ministry of an evangelical church. Around me, a Catholic environment, secular schools bringing a little of the shelter for non-Catholic children, but being a tool of communist system. Loneliness in a closed and intolerant society formed me a low self-esteem and belonging complex of a person from the marginal social majority. I was beginning shy. I felt like a fish only in the evangelical church, in Sunday school, or in a youth group. After my conversion, graduation from Baptist seminary, ministry of youth pastor, after setting up a family, graduation from theological academy, and now during mutual ministry with my wife and two sons in two developing churches, we are growing in our understanding what truly the Christ-like ministry, Christ-like attitude. Care for others, true meaning, are all about. We understanding more that love to God and our neighbor is the only basis of our life. But it was not easy. Not an easy lesson in recognizing my own true motives in my marriage, family, and church ministry. I often discovered that I had too high expectations. I assumed maturity without considering process. I enforced natural activity over everybody without considering their personalities and individual growth patterns. It caused my inner frustration and enclosed my ministry in a negative way. I did see the need of discipleship and I had a lot of patience and love for new Christians and those who signaled their need for help. But the growing church and growing responsibility with it took up my time that should be spent on individual discipleship. And inner conflicts between the observed needs and the actual possibility to meet them grew in me. I taught Mira many times in the church office. I would give it up in one moment. When I was looking at the papers and everything was around in the office, Mira asked, "What would you do?" "I would go to people," I answered. After my pastoral work, when I accepted the invitation to become National Director of Youth for Christ Poland, Mira and I and our friends started the Ministry of Christian Counseling. And in this way, we can express our readiness to be beside other people and to search for the presence of the Great Father, giving us all in Christ. We see the constant need to strive for maturity and reconciliation of all the church activities, its organization, administration, evangelism, discipleship, mentoring, counseling, and practical help, all other activity, services, and education, with one goal, to lead people to maturity. And then to bring up a man mature in Christ, Ephesians 4:14, becomes a key role of the current church. What's our conclusion? The need to mentor leaders spiritually. There is a great need of disciples, mentors, advisors, and counselors for pastors, leaders, and leadership couples who would be called to ministry, educated, supported, and financed by the church or denomination. It costs for union or denomination a lot to educate new leaders, but at the same time, they lost those experienced who became of the described earlier reason give up their ministry. Okay. The need for leaders to have healthy relationship. I observe for the last 10 years, in fact, a group of leaders attending different founded revival meetings, European meetings also, whose role is to freshen one's spiritual life and to offer relaxation in beautiful centers. That group is always the same and hermetically closed, not letting others needy leaders in. Those others very often have no such opportunities of relaxation and encouragement time. In a church budget, we need position offering them practical help in a form of sabbatical pastoral retreats for couples in ministry, planned mentoring, counseling, and discipleship of pastors. And last year in Wrocław, as a group of pastors, 14, we decide to sign covenant. Covenant to be disposal for each other, to support each other, to pray for each other, to listen each other, to walk with each other in ministry. But very soon, when we did this paper, it was wonderful. And when we were in different situation, I discovered that we are still in the process. We can have great desire to be friend to each other, to dedicate my life to others. But we need time. Always time. What does it mean? Because I don't know myself first. It's interesting that in a counseling ministry, when how we can learn about churches, about pastors, to counsel people. To learn from people what kind of leader is in this church and this church. And we know many secrets of life of pastors. I remember that my discuss with someone that he was very afraid when we, as a Youth for Christ, were starting the manifest. We call this the current in the youth generation of young people who have passion to be followers of Christ daily. I remember how he was against of manifest, because he couldn't control this. He was afraid that somebody can influence his people. But at the same time, because it's so clear that manifest is the current, the mainstream on the river of youth generation for people who really love Christ and ready, radical way, ready to practice this daily. It's show me of some leaders, what their attitudes. That crucial need to helping pastors to be honest. They need to help them walk daily in marriage and family life and ministry with honest questions. Who really am I? What my limits? What's my weaknesses? What's my strength? What my really gifts? To not to wear some what people are wearing me because this position. Who am I? What I need to learn? In which area I need help? Who really I need to fulfill my calling? They need to help to be responsible before someone in personal life and ministry. We need to help Christian leaders to take responsibility for themselves. It is the responsibility to Christ for my own personal relationship with Him, to which I was redeemed. Any other relationship is also redeemed with Christ's blood. We need to help them never resign that relationship with my wife is first, then children, then with other church members. It's very easy in daily life, busy life, under many pressure, lost responsibility before Christ. I remember some session with students and pastors. I asked one pastor of the big church, "Is your wife your neighbor?" It wasn't difficult for him to answer, but he was very obviously shocked. When we talk to the couples in the conferences, different places, we always point to the fact that meaning of the Ephesians 5, where is Paul teaching about marriage, can only be taken in the context of the previous chapters, beginning with the first one. I am first called to set up a church in my own home. I remember it was maybe 12 years ago or more when we have some meetings of the leaders, Polish leaders and the leaders from other countries to discuss our ministry today. And I remember when I made angry some leaders, when I very clear, we talk about evangelism, but very clear I said that today evangelism means church planting. And now we see this, the church planting as a kind of the movement now. But today, after this 12 years or 15 years, I can say that we need plant church in our homes first. Because from the Ephesians is very clear that marriage only can express church. It's so simple, but how to apply this in our daily life? We need to take responsibility for each other. As I understand the European Leadership Forum, is that it is a meeting, and as Apostle Paul writes, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-13. We are leaders who can have a great influence on the national leaders in the body of Christ, as those who accompany them in life journey, who are sensitive to needs and struggles of pastors, leaders, and teachers. Let us all be accessible and open to our brothers and partners in ministry. Let us try to influence budgets, calendars, plans, and strategies, And in this way, we love to God and our neighbor better, preparing God's people to the work of service and building. Mira and I, we are very blessed people. Also because that we are here. We are very blessed because I remember when Greg and Lori were in Poland. It was 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago. Greg was teaching for some people for our church. It was the in the nice place. It was the church, how we call the retreat, yeah. And then we were sitting evening, there was a fire, around the fire. And then we talked to Lori about, you know, last question, what we are doing. And we talked about our dreams, our ministry, and so. And it was the beginning that Lori and Greg helped us to go to Wheaton College for some 7 weeks, and then we spent time with them also some week in their home. This is grace. That somebody find us. You know, it's some place in Poland in the by the fireplace, you know, and help us to grow, and help us to meet other people who can make possible our ministry. But our burden is, because this is grace, and we see many pastors, leaders, who couldn't have this possibility. They are forgetting. We need to be responsible for each other. How is it to see my needs, that I need to go for the conference? I need to be there. It's for me. But how I can share with this one who do not have this possibility? He grow in the feelings, I am nobody. Therefore, we need to still work and to influence leaders of the churches, denomination, and Bible schools, seminars, to put in the budget the care for someone, to see someone who needs help, who needs somebody to walk with him, to help him, to find resources for them to grow, to be encouraged, to go to the retreat center for rest, for sabbatical. And then when this was growing in our heart, this need and to be servant for others, and we start this our daybreak ministry of Christian counseling as a calling and personal answer to the need of this current church and pastoral struggles. And our focus with Mira is on the personal life people in the church. Personal life of leader, of pastor, couples, in their struggles, barriers, difficulties, failures, and help them to understand their role, challenges, relationship, process of growth. Factor of time in their way to grow to maturity. In our Daybreak logo are two birds. I have the logo. Two birds. One is, each bird have two wings. And one is described as the grace and truth. But two birds in relationship. And our motto is from Proverbs 3, verse 3. Do not let grace and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. And in New Testament, we can see this is only in Christ. We are serving leading pastors two ways. Directly, in personal way, and indirectly, influence to the church which he is pastoring. Directly, by individual help, support, mentoring, counseling, in personal crisis, or marriage problems, ministry problems. Through giving our time, ourselves, in our home, or where they live. Giving the encouragement, listening, giving hope. Together looking for the root of problem. Together learning from God's word. But indirectly, by influence to the church, by the one-year seminar, we call this step-by-step, offering for local churches, for a group of leaders, including pastor in this group. Our goal is to help pastor to create team around him who are ready to, in honest atmosphere, will find and grow in peace with your past, with God, with yourself, with others, and future. In this group, it's much more intimacy, honesty, encouragement, time for support. It's time is important for support through and love than in other meetings. Pastor can listen other leaders of his church and members of his church. They can learn about him as a normal person. This is a not Christian nudism or Christian autism. Other way of helping pastors and leaders, what we are going to prepare is regular retreats in nice place for reflection, refreshing, relax. And now we need more co-workers, more time, and some financial support. I can tell you what we did with this one of the pastors. What he found to us, and we went to him. And when he decides, and we wrote the plan, what we can do? What we can do? But God changed this plan. And he decided to confess his sin for his people in his church. And we were there. We asked for permission, can we be in this meeting. Church said yes. And we are listening to him. We are observing people in this church. We are listening what our people were talking after that about him. And then we invite them to our home several times for 3 days to be with them, be for them, to listen to them, to help them to go through their life, personal and marriage life. And then when he moved to another place to visiting him, to be friends for them, for whole family. It's a long process. And now his son is in one of the seminaries in Poland. And we're trying to help him, because his desire is to serve people one-to-one. This is atmosphere that we can talk about the problem of his father and help him. But time is so important, to be not hurry, not push, but really to learn what God doing in our life, what doing in life of person, of his servant. And I remember during our pastoral work where we were in some conference with Selvin Hughes, maybe somebody knows Selvin Hughes, the Christian counselor in the UK. It was about maybe 18 or 19 years ago. And he showed us the picture of the church. And it's not here. Yes, but the pastor was behind the pulpit with how you call this, that with pipe that the water was
hose pipe.
Thank you for your laugh. Hose pipe. And he was trying to fulfill bottles. He drove the not chairs, but not people, but bottles. And he was trying to fulfill bottles. I am so happy to be here, because this, what we are talking about in our group, our network group, it's to see individuals. To see me, that I am individual, and see people that we can serve individually to them. Thanks God for this. Amen. Yes, you are already.
Perhaps this would be a good time for some questions. And Adam has raised a lot of very important issues with regard to ministry and church. And we have some time now to explore those.
There seems to be...
Maybe quite loudly so everybody can hear.
There seems to be a ministry for those in ministry. That's what I understand. Is there anything done for pastors before they get into the ministry to make it there for the ministry?
Okay. There's a ministry for those in ministry.
Yes.
And is there a...
Are is there anything done in Poland, looking at our seminaries, to prepare pastors like a preventive care
Is there are schools and churches doing preventive care so that these problems don't happen so much or so intensively?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's we can observe very interesting process in Poland that really is number of people who are understand the need. You know, it's growing, and we have several different trainings in Poland, and some pastors are also attending this training. But what we are observing, the best people, they are not doing the personal counseling, but teaching. It's of course, I understand we need this, but we see not so many people who can be in the front to be one-to-one. This problem I see.
I think to prepare a church like a body of Christ to serve each other, this is the goal. I think now we can observe that then the stress leaders put for activities, more for activities, education activities, but I think this field, discipleship, and like a body of Christ, it's a very,
neglect.
Yeah. I think this is the needs that we can invest in this field.
Nikolai, I'm going to ask you to respond to this as well. Because if I understand your role, you really have visited many churches and many theological institutions and seen the ministry in quite a number of countries, Eastern, Western, Central Europe. So what do you see that's happening that we can try to prevent some of these things? Are churches responding or schools? How would you respond to this concern?
One of the things which already started to be doing is asking similar program or activities as European Member Care or Member Care have providing care for the missionaries. We are helping now, and you are not aware that Henry and Alina are involved in this.
Yeah.
We are trying to provide a member care first for pastors in each of the countries. We are in the very beginning. And second, for the faculty and staff of the theological or Bible institutes. It's in the very early stage. The research has been made. His work and his database is also showing that the crisis is very deep, beyond imagination. I'm much even farther. I can understand his heart. The reason is, I got a vision. I don't know who believes in vision. I got a vision. I did not believe before, but I did that time. And it was that in 10 years, if something will not dramatically change in training leaders and taking care for pastors in Central and Eastern Europe, more than 80% of the today's pastors and leaders will disappear. One reason or the other. Most of them he touched. Some he didn't. I will mention few. Number one is less accountability. Or the hands of most of the leaders are getting one way or the other dirty. Compromise with basic biblical principles. Number three. Misuse of the resources, not stolen, but misuse. And I can continue in this. That's why we, few of us from Central and Eastern Europe, ask, pledge for Americans and Western Europeans to provide us kind of ministry similar to what he has there. It's, we call this Barnabas ministry, to serve the ministers. Now, in some places they are better. In most of the countries in Central and Eastern Europe, zero. In Romania, they started something. In most of the institutions, educational institutions, nobody cares. Supporters or sponsors or partners ask about results. And everybody who is, as us, responsible to raise funds, we are providing figures. We are trying to encourage, to motivate our donors. And that's why sometimes we are manipulating them. But this is first our sin. We put us in a not good spiritual relationship. But second, we are giving wrong information and signals that the main need is what? For what we are raising funds. It's not true. The main need is deeper, and this is spiritual need. Now, I'm sorry, the reaction of some of the leaders from Central and Eastern Europe is not very good about what he shared, what Henry shared, what I share, with what several people from Romania, and there are many others, and Ukraine share as well. The reason is we are drawing somehow negative picture for our areas, and nobody would like to invest in something which is not positive. That's why it's first matter of lots of prayer. Second, it's honesty. Honesty is required absolutely. Third, required courage. Fourth, faithfulness. And I don't know, if something will not change dramatically in the next 5 years now, not 10, we have seen in Romania about 50 pastors who resigned or left their commitment, and they are not in the ministry last year. Now, some of the leaders of denomination will not recognize this. Mm. We have seen this in Croatia. Actually, we have Bulgarians who are serving in Croatia now. But we have seen this in Croatia, in Macedonia, in Serbia. We have seen this in... somebody mentioned Poland. I haven't seen Poland. But this is something which I think we, as educators, should pray and encourage one another, and also encourage West Europeans and Americans who are supporters or supporting agencies to start to ask tough questions. I'm sorry for long.
Yeah. In this area, it's from our experience, you know, when we are talking about this ministry, it's only few people can understand this. Usually evangelists, church planting. That's it. But to see that the real struggles of people who church planters, evangelists, and who are in ministry, it's not a good picture.
Yeah. You wanted to follow up, but also we'll open it up to others.
Sorry, I'm just my major question is: are we not setting up pastors for destruction? If we do not build in the educational system a way to support them. Most people graduate young, no experience, go in churches, major conflicts, clans, and fights, have no idea what to do, struggle with personal identity and personality traits and struggles, and then fail. Few resign. Most never resign until they're caught. Even when they're caught, they never confess. So I'm saying, is there anything done in the educational system, a kind of accountability across the nations, so these pastors producing systems do something to correct their finished product?
Yes, you know, what I can tell you about from our experience in this, it's our step-by-step program. In some seminary in Poland is similar program for as a subject to teach students. And now we are doing this step-by-step program for leaders, pastors, for churches when they invite us. And two students, one couple, decide to join to our group beside the seminary, because they learn that this is not counseling, this is not subject to learn to write paper on the final year, but for real life. And it's challenge for education. You know, and we will discuss this during the lunch, how we can change this. So such many important subjects we teach our students, not for life. And then it's, you know, it's seminary giving us credit that they can to exam this in a seminary, but we need cooperate. We need still cooperate.